Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord. And by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we could be used of God to be a blessing. Before we get started with the message today, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Father, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been good to us so much better than we deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead, guide, and direct in the service. Father, you know the need better than we do. And Father, we pray that you would give us the grace and strength to speak your word with boldness, with power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Help us, Father, to accomplish your will. And Father, for the good that is accomplished, let us step aside and give you the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. As we come today, we're going to look in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 13, Jeremiah chapter 13. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "Thus saith the Lord unto me, Go and get thee a linen girdle, and put it upon thy loins, and put it not in water. So I got a girdle according to the word of the Lord, and put it on my loins. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, Take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and arise. Go to Euphrates, and hide it there in a hole of the rock. So I went, and hid it by Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. And it came to pass after many days that the Lord said unto me, Arise, go to Euphrates, and take the girdle from thence, which I commanded thee to hide there. Then I went to Euphrates and digged, and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it, and behold, the girdle was marred. It was profitable for nothing. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, After this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. And notice what God's going against. He says, I'm going to mar them. Mar them for what? Pride. You know, we're in a day and time where pride is promoted. And it's promoted on multiple levels. It's not just the homosexual pride movement, the alphabet soup of pride and all that. It's not just that. That certainly would cover it. The pride of their sin, the pride of their arrogance. But you can go to the pride of adultery. What God had joined together, let no man put asunder. What happens if you divorce and remarry? Look, I believe in God forgiving people. But you got to admit wrong happened. Yet we have people that are prideful and say, the best thing I happened was getting a divorce. I know you can make mistakes, Shirley, and I know you can have maybe a good life later on in different things, but you've got to deal with pride. You can't say, this all happened great. You got to admit a mistake was made somewhere, either mistake in what you chose to begin with and how you looked upon things, a way that you dealt with your marriage, a way that you've done something. There's pride there. The only reason God even gave a writing for a bill of divorcement in the Old Testament is because of the hardness of men's hearts. And Jesus was more plain about marriage and divorce than anybody. Jesus was. So if you don't like the words of Christ, your problem is not with me. It's with Him. We got people prideful in fornication. Well, everybody does. Everybody commits this sin. And I'll tell you, everybody does not. It seems that way, and that's the way we justify us being wicked. Well, everybody else is doing it. Doesn't that sound like a child making an excuse? So childish. And it comes from pride. Well, if everybody else is doing it, then I might as well do it too. Pride. That's pride. We beat upon our chest. We boast about how great and wonderful we are. There's pride everywhere. And God said, I'm going to mar them. Why? because of their pride. Pride is not a good word in Scripture. It's an evil word. And we need to see it as evil. Pride is evil. Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before the fall. Pride is evil in Scripture. And God said, I'm going to mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people, notice what God said there, this evil people. See, we think ourselves as good and wonderful and we're nice and all this other stuff. I tell you, God looks at us a lot different. He said, this evil people which refuse to hear my words. God said about fornication and gossiping and backbiting and adultery and these things, He said it should not be named once among the children of God. Not once. It's named a lot more than once. And how many tears are being shed and how much repentance is going on. There's people that think they have a close walk with God that watch pornography. And let me tell you this, there's light porn and there is hard porn. Some of y'all say, well, I don't watch porn, but then you watch something like Game of Thrones, which might as well be light porn. And I haven't watched it. I've read things about it. And I've had people try to encourage me to watch some things, and I'm like, my gosh. A child of God shouldn't be watching anything close to this. But yet, here we are. Watching things that are ungodly. Watching things we got no business watching. I'll tell you what, I'm amazed sometimes. You know, I'm friends with a lot of church members. And you think, man, I'm friends with church people, you know, on Facebook and stuff. I'm not going to see all this wickedness and stuff. All of a sudden, people start saying, oh, I'm going to go to this show and this concert and stuff. And you start looking up the name to find out who in the world these people are. And you're like, oh my gosh, my goodness, my God. And you're saying that in reference to God. My Lord, have mercy upon us. I'm not saying that like some people say, OMG and all this other stuff and disrespect to God and just talking about it in some vain way and vainly using the name of God. I'm looking at it in a prayerful sense and saying, my Lord, how can your people watch this? How can they listen to this? You know, I heard a name even recently. There were some ladies that I knew that went to churches of like faith. I've known them from churches, and they were talking about some person being on the coast. And I said, okay, well, who is this? I looked him up. It was some comedian. And you start to hear the words. And people say, man, this person says the F word left and right. Not just minor cursing, but you're talking about major cursing left and right. And people say, oh, yeah, yeah. Need to go to that show. Of course, a lot of them even be going to the casinos to watch some of this stuff. Where Christians shouldn't be seen. When I say shouldn't be seen, they shouldn't be there. We don't see how evil we've become. God said, I don't want vile communication proceeding forth out of your mouth. How prideful are we with our conversation? Are we meek and lowly? Are we wanting to fight, curse, mark on ourselves in ways that God told us not to do? Not to cut upon thy flesh, not to mark the dead upon thy flesh, and things of that nature. And I know some people do things in ignorance. They don't know because they've never been taught. And I understand that. I believe in God's forgiveness and mercy, and I teach on all that. But when you come in with pride and know that it's against the Word of God, which refuse to hear His words, and we say, oh man, I'm going to go get this tattoo. I'm going to go curse. I'm going to go dress immodestly. I'm going to go be in nakedness. I'm going to go watch filth. You don't think we can do that as God's people? And He says, I'm going to judge them for their evil, for their pride, for them not taking heed to My words. They walk in the imagination of their heart and walk after other gods. And I'll tell you, a lot of the things that even Christians are standing for today is things of other gods. It's not the God of heaven. Even the way that the word love is used in our day and time is not the way it's used in Scripture. It's the way it's used by false religions. It's the way it's used by idols. It's the way that it's used by selfish, sinful man. It's not the way it's used by God. You know what God calls a loving marriage? When you're committed to one another. Go and study it sometimes. Go read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and read what God calls charity. That's godly love. And it's a step beyond. The reason He didn't use the word love there is because it's above human love. It is a godly love, and it's a commitment. It's a forgiveness. It's a long-suffering. It is a different kind of love. And there is not too many Christians that believe in that kind of love anymore. Now, I say Christians, I'm talking about churchgoers, people who claim the name of Christ. I know the true meaning of Christian is a follower of Christ, which means you obey His words, you follow Him, you submit to Him in all things. But today we're walking after other gods. We're walking in idolatry. And we don't even recognize it. We're walking in idolatry in the way that we dress, in the way that we talk, in the things that we have fellowship with. We're walking in idolatry. We're walking after other gods to serve them. And the greatest god of today is humanism. It is self. Whatever I feel I need to do. We'll even blaspheme and say, God made me this way. No, you were born a sinner, and God tells you ye must be born again. God didn't create you that way. That is the thoughts of sinful man. And you must repent and believe the gospel and be saved and come out from among them. We're walking after other gods and serving them, and we worship them. He said, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. You know, we've got churches that meet every single week, some multiple times a week, and they think they're so close to God, but if God would have a conversation with them by the ways they're walking in the world, the way they brought the world into the church, and promoting things of the world in the church and from the pulpit, God would say that they were good for nothing. He said, for as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people and for a name, and for our praise, and for our glory, but they would not hear. God has called us to be different than the world. Can you tell God's people different from the world today? Can you tell a difference in the way God's people dress versus the way the world's people dress? Is there boundaries that God's people has that the world doesn't have? Is there commitment to their spouse even before they marry them? Even before they know who they are? Is there commitment after marriage? Let me give you a little secret if you don't know this already. Every marriage has difficult times. It's not one time, it's usually several times that you go through ups and downs. And it's because of our own flesh, the hardness of our own heart, that a lot of times we have this. There's difficulties in life that we all go through. And sometimes our wife is not what we want our wife to be, or husband, what the wife wants him to be in different things. But yet we're still commanded to love one another and stay faithful to one another. Stay committed to one another through the difficult times, through the hard times. We sometimes think, oh, this couple over here was married for 50, 60, 70 years or however long. And we think, well, it was easy for them. They just found the right person. They didn't find the right person. They committed themselves to the relationship. And when you got two people that are serving the Lord and are both committed to the relationship, that's where you get success. It comes from commitment, not just having to find the right person. Yes, there are character traits to look at before getting married, but most people look at lust before getting married. Well, he makes me laugh. Well, he's cute. She's beautiful. She's this. It's not what God told us to look for. He told us to look for character traits like hard work, honesty, integrity, devotion. That's the things God told us to do. And then once we were married, He said, ye husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. But I got a difficult wife. Guess what? Christ has a difficult church sometimes. Wives, love your own husbands as unto the Lord. Well, sometimes my husband ain't easy to love. Love him still. There's a burden put on both the men and women with those scriptures. It didn't say love them because you feel like loving them. He said love them as unto the Lord. Love them because it's the right thing to do. We're supposed to be a people that's part of the praise of the Lord. But if we're not holding to His Word, and we're not lifting up His Word, and we're not lifting up the things that He's taught us to do, how are we going to praise His name? There's a lot of people making Christ who they want Him to be and not having Him who He is in Scripture. Because the Christ I know rebukes sin. He rebukes wrong. He tells His people to turn from wickedness and turn to righteousness. He tells the lost to repent and believe the gospel. Even when He came to that woman that He caught in the act of adultery, where He told the people that he that's without sin cast the first stone, He also turned to the woman and said, now you go forth and sin no more. He didn't say go right back to what you were doing. He commanded her to sin no more. He said, therefore thou shalt speak unto them this word. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, every bottle shall be filled with wine, and they shall say unto thee, do we not certainly know that every bottle shall be filled with wine? Then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of this land, even the kings that sit upon David's throne, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with drunkenness. And if you know Scripture, God's not for His people being under drunkenness. He said, I'm going to fill y'all with drunkenness. And I will dash them one against another, even the fathers and the sons together, saith the Lord. I will not pity, nor spare, nor have mercy, but destroy them. God says, I'm going to let you be filled with drunkenness. I'm going to let you be filled with sin. But understand this, I'm going to destroy you. You know, the Scripture talks about over in the book of Romans, and it was people with pride. And even homosexuality is mentioned there as one of the sins in Romans chapter 1. And yet he deals with all that and he says, I gave them over to a reprobate mind. He says, I'm letting them sin and do their sin. And then he says, but I will destroy them. You think just because God allows you to do something that he calls wrong, well, God's okay with it, or God's not really here, God's not going to judge. No, sometimes he's saying, I'm just giving you over to it. And then I'm coming to bring judgment upon it. Because when you live in pride, you are rejecting the mercy of God. When you live in sin and wickedness and evil, you are rejecting the mercy of God and you are choosing rather to face judgment. He says in verse 15, hear ye and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he calls darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while ye look for light, he turn it into shadow of death and make it gross darkness. But if ye will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride. And notice that God is not happy. He says, I will weep in secret places because of your pride. And mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. Say unto the king and to the queen, humble yourselves, sit down, for your principality shall come down, even the crown of your glory. The cities of the south shall be shut up, and none shall open them. Judah shall be carried away captive, all of it. It shall be wholly carried away captive. Lift up your eyes and behold them that come from the north. Where is the flock that was given thee, thy beautiful flock? What wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? For thou hast taught them to be captains, and as chief over thee, shall not sorrows take thee as a woman in travail? And if thou say in thine heart, wherefore come these things upon me? For the greatness of thine iniquity are thy skirts discovered, and thy heels made bare. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. In other words, repent, turn from evil to good. Therefore will I scatter them as a stubble that passeth away by the wind of the wilderness. This is thy lot, the portion of thy measure from me, saith the Lord, because thou hast forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. Therefore will I discover thy skirts upon thy face, that thy shame may appear. I have seen thy adulteries and thy neighings, thy lewdness and thy whoredom, and thine abominations on the hills in the fields. Woe unto thee, O Jerusalem, wilt thou not be made clean? When shall it once be? Y'all see that he is saying, would you repent where I don't have to bring judgment? He says, I'm going to weep over it when I have to do it. I'm going to be upset about this. I'm going to shed tears about this. But he's basically saying, y'all are leaving me no choice. Because you're living in pride, you're living in evil, you're living in wickedness, you're living in lewdness. And he says, because you don't want to repent, because you don't want to turn, he says, then you're making it where I have to bring judgment. It's not what God wants to do. He says, it is what you've made happen because you will not forsake your pride. People ask sometimes, what's the biggest problem in churches in America? What's the biggest problem we're dealing with? I can tell you it's pride. And everybody's looking out and they're looking at the pride of somebody else. A lot of times in churches, we're looking at the pride of homosexuality and the pride of all the alphabet soup things that are out there. And it is wickedness and it is pride and it is evil and it will cause destruction. I have no doubt about that. But I tell you what, if we're not willing to deal with our own pride when we're dealing with vile language, when we're watching filth, when we're committing fornications and adulteries, when we're living in lewdness, when we're looking at things like pornography and things of this nature, when we're living in sin and living in wickedness and we don't want to turn from it and we don't want to turn back to God and we don't want to dress modestly and we don't want to live in meekness and sobriety and righteousness and godliness, when we don't want to do those things, when we don't want to turn from our wicked ways and turn to that which is right. And yet we have the Word of God and we say that we have the Spirit of God dwelling within us. Where's the evidence of it? There should be evidence, shouldn't there? There should be evidence that the Spirit of God has come within us and we turn from darkness unto light. There should be evidence. But more and more you're seeing darkness come into the churches and be preached and promoted. And preachers that preach against sin and wickedness are shunned and thrown out and hated by the congregation. Oh, they don't love. They preach hard messages. They preach against sin. Do you know there's a lot of people that is upset with homosexuality that gets upset when the preacher preaches against their sin? You'll say, don't they see in the Word of God what they're doing is evil? Don't they see that homosexuality, that transgenderism, that all this other stuff is evil? Don't they see that and they'll come and have conversations with you? Don't you see you're evil? It's in the Word of God just as plain. Do you have vile communication proceeding forth out of your mouth when you go and let go of your pride and confess your evil and repent of it? When are you going to say that your nakedness is showing in the clothing that you wear and what you do? When are you going to repent of it? When are you going to repent of the markings on your bodies? When are you going to repent of your selfishness and greed? When are we going to repent of fornications and adulteries? Get our eyes off of everybody else and look at ourselves and say, there's things I need to repent of. Because judgment must begin at the house of God. It must begin there. And let me tell you this, God is a lot more heartbroken and upset about His people turning against Him than the world living in sin. The sinful world, He expects them to live sinful. What He does not expect is His people to live like them. Our pride is destroying us. When is the last time you've seen a child of God get upset about their sin and come before the church and say, y'all pray for me, y'all forgive me. I have done things that would be a stumbling block and a hindrance to my brother or sister in Christ and to lost souls trusting in Christ. When's the last time you saw a child of God get upset and break down in tears over their own sin? I don't see it much at all. And until that begins to happen, we can never expect the pride in the world to disappear until we get rid of our own pride. And we need to do it now, not later. We need to repent and turn back to God. And I pray that we would. If you have something upon your heart, our number is 601-606-4681. You can write us, Brandon Hartfield, 8 Smith Drive, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 39401. Heavenly Father, pray that You'll take this message, use it for Your honor and glory. for the good accomplished through it. Let us step aside and give you the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.